Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears, along with you here on this Getaway Friday, May the 28th. 2021, 14 minutes past the hour, and it truly is a Getaway Friday here on WWGH Radio. We are getting away for the big Memorial Day weekend, the official kickoff of summer, as most people call it, and we have 5 hours of programming for you this morning. Now, I will be on with you from 8:15 this morning through 11 a.m., and then we have the pastor spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 11:15 until 12 p.m., and then we will be back on from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Now, kind of let me lay out for you what will happen this morning. It's going to be a great morning, and I don't know if anything like this has ever been done in Marion Radio before, and certainly for two reasons this morning, it's important to do it. Number one, Memorial Day. It's a very important holiday for a lot of people, a lot of veterans, as well as anybody who is gone in your life. And also, it's the kickoff to summer after a very long 14 months with things changing. We'll leave it that way at this point, just things changing in the world. Now, 2020, as many of you know, was the centennial, the 100th anniversary of our president here in Marion, Ohio, Warren G. Harding, being elected president of the United States. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic here in 2020, we could not do a whole lot with that. We did have Warren Harding on via telephone on the actual 100th anniversary of Election Day, which was a lot of fun. But what most people don't know is in 1921, back in those days, the president was actually sworn into office in early March. So 2021 has a lot of significance, too, when it comes to Warren Harding, especially with the museum opening up here in Marion. So this year is the 100th anniversary of the inauguration of President Warren G. Harding. So because of that, all morning this morning, we are going to be joined by Warren G. Harding. Now, how this is going to play out for the first 3 hours, and you know, we've got the rain, so at least we've got the radio. Wherever you are, you'll be able to listen at home. But what will happen is from 8 until 11 a.m., we will have Warren Harding here in studio, and we'll talk to him about his life and times and how he got to where he got, and that will be a lot of fun. Now, we're also going to have Warren Harding trivia because it is Memorial Day weekend, and this day every year for 7 years has signified the kickoff to us giving away Columbus Zoo tickets, Zumbezi Bay tickets, and the Wilds tickets. So we'll do that as the morning progresses as well. And then at 12 noon, Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker on 11:10 until 12 noon. And while that's on, we'll be preparing for a front porch speech. Even if it's raining, we're going to go out front and we're going to do the speech that is now 100 years old, amongst others, from 12 to 1. Now, in the midst of all that, we also have Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, with us from Columbus, Ohio this morning. Now, a lot of Bobby Ray's music comes from the Warren Harding period, certainly his life period, early 1900s, early 20th century stuff, and he will be performing live as the morning goes on. And I also believe Angie Evers will be in at some point this morning. So it's going to be a jam-packed morning here and a lot of fun. So as the first 3 hours go here, we will be joined by Warren Harding, Bobby Ray the Kazoo Man, music interwoven with the life story of President Warren Harding. Angie will be in. Adam Lepp is here. Adam did us a great favor last night and went down. Well, Adam lives in Columbus, but he picked up Bobby Ray, brought him up here this morning. So we're very thankful to Adam for that. So that is the morning as it stands right now. And then between now and then, who knows who else will show up. But let's get the morning started here this morning on WGH Radio by opening up our microphones in studio to the one and only President of the United States, Warren G. Harding. How should I refer to you? President, Senator, Warren?
Well, I've spent most of my life here in Marion. I know so many people here in town. I'm Warren. I'm Warren to nearly everybody here. So let's keep this informal, and please call me Warren.
I shall do that, Warren. For people who can't see you, this is radio. You are very formally dressed. Now, is this a trait that, I mean, I have a sports coat on, but you're very formally dressed. Is this a trait that you have always had?
Well, I never know when I'll be called upon to speak. I'm well known for having something to say, not only during my political life, but for many years on the Chautauqua circuit. And I'm almost expected to be able to give a speech at a drop of the hat. I have my hat today. It's a straw boater, and I'm not planning on dropping it. But I wouldn't be surprised if I have an opportunity to make a speech later today. I have one scheduled for later in the day, but I need to be prepared. So I usually am carefully attired.
Now, Warren, the hat there that you have a lot of people still wear those, and they call them campaign hats. Now, were you the first to do this that we know of, wear a hat like that?
No, I wear this kind of hat just because it's comfortable. It's light, and it's made of woven straw, which lets the air through. So it's a great hat for summertime, especially when I'm out in the sun, golfing or playing baseball or something like that. So actually, I believe William McKinley probably was the first to be known for wearing this style of chapeau.
What do you think of the other presidents who have come from Ohio prior to you?
Well, I hold William McKinley in extremely high regard. In fact, I have modeled parts of my campaign about his campaign. People credit me with inventing the front porch campaign, and that's really not true. I borrowed it from William McKinley, who had great success with it, campaigning from his home. In fact, the flagpole and flag in front of my home on Mount Vernon Avenue is actually from the McKinley home.
Oh.
In tribute to him. And the front porch campaign is not so much an honor as it was just a very practical and frankly inexpensive way to garner the kind of public attention that would be necessary for the 1920 campaign.
You know, I have a question about the front porch campaign kind of off the cuff here. The other day, we had a gentleman, a friend of mine, a Facebook friend, social media friend, who came to Marion, and they visited your home, which is a great stop. And in their caption, they put sometimes 600,000 people would show up, or 60,000 people would show up for these campaign speeches. And what I wondered was, standing on your porch with no amplification, how could people hear what you were saying?
Well, that 600,000 people is—I don't believe that's an exaggeration. I believe that's true, but that's over the course of the entire campaign.
Not at one time.
No, that includes everybody that ventured to Marion. Most of them came by train. But it wasn't unusual to have maybe 5,000 or more. Of course, there was nobody really counting with a clicker, but so you had to estimate the crowd size, of course. But we had to tear up the lawn and the ground surrounding the home and fill it in with gravel because people were standing in the mud. And so on a busy day, the yard's filled, the street, Mount Vernon Avenue is filled and usually closed. across the street at Etowah. It's we've got people in that yard and in the surrounding yard. Fortunately, I have a microphone here, but in that kind of a situation, I just bellow my lungs out. And I learned at a young age how to project. I took oratory in school, and William Jennings Bryan was the one we all want to emulate, and he had a powerful booming voice. And while my voice is nothing in comparison to his, I've learned to be able to project to large crowds.
Mm. And I do want to say this, just so it's important for our listening audience, as President Harding Warren here has told us how he's dressed. Make no mistake about it, for anybody who knows anything about Warren Harding, he looks like himself this morning. Very, very, you know, it would be hard to separate the person in studio from Warren Harding. It's a very close connection. It's like sitting with the president this morning, which I'm glad to do, President Harding.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I mean that sincerely at several levels. For one thing, it's an honor to be featured today on a radio station that bears my own initials. I'm deeply flattered by that. I have a lot of respect for radio. It's clearly the emerging medium and the future of communications. I learned that on election night when we were getting our election results from KDKA in Pittsburgh, one of the few radio stations in the country, and about the only one we can actually pick up here in Marion. And it became clear at that time the timeliness and the reach of radio, the immediacy of radio, is completely unprecedented. And given my background in journalism and as a publisher, I have tremendous respect for that.
You know, that's very interesting, coming from a newspaper man, because in the early days of radio, and really for a long, long time, newspaper editors did not have the kindest things to say about radio because of the wars that started with advertising. So it could be a little, you know, we never know if what was said was more said out of truth or was it said out of competition. But that's nice of you.
Well, to be frank, certainly newspapers have the right to be concerned about advertising, but radio is not a threat as far as advertising is concerned. There are so few radio stations in the nation. I believe, and I may be wrong about this, but I believe I'm the only person to own a radio in Marion County. Now, there probably are some experimenters that are doing some things, but I have an Atwater Kent that probably costs a month's wages for most people. I can pick up one station on it. There is a station in Columbus. It's run by Ohio State University. It doesn't have letters. It's got some number thing that it goes by. But it's purely experimental. And there's no regular programming. So as far as advertising is concerned, there's really no potential. Now, that may change over the years. I expect it will as audiences grow and more people get radios, and certainly. But for the moment, radio in its present state is not a threat to traditional print publications, newspapers, magazines, and so forth.
I don't mean to be crude with this question, but was the newspaper business financially good for you?
Well, the short answer is yes, but the long answer is it took a long, circuitous route, and nobody predicted that I would have any success with it. Even my own father, who grudgingly loaned me some money, he mortgaged one of his fields to provide funds to purchase the Marion Star initially. And our early years were sparse, difficult. On a whim, I suppose, bought a cash register to put on the counter. I think the cash register gave people coming in the appearance that some money was flowing. In reality, the cash register drawer was mostly full of collar buttons. But later on, the Star grew in circulation, largely due to the efforts of my wife, Florence. We may get into that at some point. To be honest, you ask about money. I recently sold the Star. I sold it to the Brush family. That's the Brush newspapers. And, of course, this isn't for publication, so, don't tell anybody. But sold it for $500,500.
$500,000 here in the early part of the 20th century.
Yes.
Prior to 1920,
yes.
I don't know when the paperwork was signed, but we're talking $500,000.
Yes.
Wow. You did okay.
Well, that's not a bad return on a $100 investment. That was my initial contribution to we purchased the Star. It was a miserable little publication. It was four pages, and it had been known as the Marion Daily Pebble for years, and then changed the name to the Star. And two partners and I bought it at a sheriff's sale. It had gone bankrupt. And we purchased the entire property for $300. We each put in $100. I didn't have $100. That's when I had to reach out to my father for some background. He was able to help. That also backfired a little bit. We can maybe talk about that at some point. But anyway, it was a modest investment, even considering that $100 is a lot of money in that time. But
I have to ask you, because there were some rumblings here in the early 20th century prior to 1920 about one of your former paperboys, Norman Thomas.
Yes.
Now, I really don't know at this point where he'll end up or what he'll do, but from people I've talked to, they seem to feel, he's from Marion, that he has a lot of very progressive, socialistic feelings. What did you have any communication with Norman Thomas at any, or have you?
Well, not in the political realm. Certainly, I knew him as a paper carrier. He was a very kind and thoughtful boy. He was very concerned with the welfare of others. Very conscientious. I always made certain that the paper was delivered on time. You could set your clock by when he was coming to deliver. So very amiable, very easy to make friends. I had a very high regard for him. But as a boy, I certainly had no sense of what his political leanings may be or how they might develop. I will say that you said that he's socialist in his thinking. Well, I disagree with a great deal of what socialist platforms are about. I have respect for their ideas, even though I disagree with them. Eugene Debs, who during the campaign was the socialist candidate for president, and President Wilson had such strong anti-socialist views that he viewed Eugene Debs as literally a traitor, and had the Justice Department charge him with sedition crimes against the country just for speaking. And he's presently serving time in prison. So yeah. I intend in my early days as president to give him a full pardon and get that man released, because that is in total violation of freedom of speech.
Well, now I want to set the scene for this for people who maybe don't understand about Mr. Debs. Mr. Debs, not former president yet, but coming up on it, he will be at the end of his run. Woodrow Wilson is a Democrat. Just so people know, President Wilson, you are a Republican. Debs, as you said, socialistic ideas, certainly, and is in prison right now because of just speaking out, sedition, charged with sedition by President Wilson. Now, this is odd to a lot of people because they tend, even at this point, to believe that the Democratic Party is less... How should I put this? Less structured in this way, that a Republican would not be the one to pardon a socialistic person, that the Democratic Party's beliefs would be more in line with that.
Well, a pardon has nothing to do with Mr. Debs' political leanings. Nothing whatsoever. Because I vehemently disagree with nearly every platform item Mr. Debs would have under a socialistic umbrella. But the larger issue is the freedom that we have in America to speak freely. That's why it's called the First Amendment. Put all the amendments together, it's the First Amendment. That's the one. And President Wilson completely negated it, violated it, by holding Mr. Debs accountable for acts against the government by simply speaking his mind.
Do you think, not mainly because of your Republican label, but because of your label as a journalist and newspaper owner, do you think you might feel a little more strongly about the First Amendment than maybe other Republicans do?
Well, that's probably true, because I've lived the First Amendment and the strengths and weaknesses of it. It's a powerful benefit for the American public. It comes with risks. It's messy at times, as we have seen with the situation Mr. Debs is in. But freedom of speech is paramount. And, of course, a free press that goes with it, with the ability to not only report the news, but also to editorialize, to take a stand as a publisher, as a publication, to have an opinion as a publisher, as a publication, an opinion that may ruffle feathers and run afoul of the local mayor or the party that's in power. Journalism, when it's well done, can make people angry. It should, but should not have the consequences that Mr. Debs is facing.
Chatting with Warren G. Harding here on WWGH Radio this morning. We'll be doing that through 1 p.m. this afternoon. Also joined in studio by Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man. And we're going to get a couple songs in before this first hour is up this morning. Now, I'm going to ask Warren Harding another question, give Bobby Ray a chance to get ready here this morning. But I thought a good song to open up with this morning might be Happy Days Are Here Again. So we will start with that after this particular question. And Bobby Ray's here. We hear him. The question for do you like that song?
I love that song. That has been other than a song that Mr. Jolson wrote for me, really my theme song.
Oh, then
that
this is
really
good.
That really is what the Harding campaign has always been about. Yes, it's about America First. Yes, it's about return to normalcy. What is normalcy? Normalcy is happy days. Happy days.
One more question, and then we're going to have, we'll let Bobby Ray adjust that microphone there so he can, for his proper height. What I do want to ask you about this, follow up on this newspaper question, you did editorials. You were the editor. Now, do you consider yourself a baseline reporter? Because baseline reporters tend to try as hard as they can to leave their opinion out. Certainly you did not do that.
Well, no reputable, responsible newspaper leaves opinion out. The key is to separate news from editorial. And yes, 80-90% of the content in the Marion Star and really any other newspaper is fact-based, opinion-free reporting of the truth. And gathering, they say there are two sides to every story. There are dozens of sides to every story, and it's the journalist's role to be able to uncover those and tell it fluently without injecting the reporter's own feelings or biases into the story. Certainly a reporter has opinions and biases, we all do, but you try your best to set those aside. Let the facts speak for themselves, and then express those opinions in a well-written editorial that's clearly labeled as such. It's opinion. Op-ed. Opinion, editorial. And placed in such a way that it's clear that this isn't news. This is a position statement taken by a columnist or by the editor or by the publication itself.
Bobby Ray's tuning up, so I'm going to pursue this a little longer until we can get him back in here. And forgive me for asking this question, but certainly the goal of newspapers is to sell newspapers. Did you ever write an editorial? I'm not saying that wasn't your own opinion, but that you knew would sell newspapers, that would make headlines.
Not knowingly, and I know there are journalists that do, and frankly, I think Mr. Cox may be guilty of some of that.
Your opponent.
My opponent.
Yeah.
But what I found was that in Marion, as is probably true in most communities, the newspaper has the uncanny ability to set the tone for the community. To set priorities for the community. Marion, since about 1880, is a boom town. It's growing at leaps and bounds. The amount of manufacturing that's done here in town is astounding. It's drawing people from all over for lucrative jobs at Mr. Barnhart's factory or Mr. Huber's factory and many others that are here in town. And Marion has outgrown its, I'll just use a highfalutin word, infrastructure. It's not a word you hear very often, but it's basically, we're becoming a city and we've got mud streets. So I've used the paper and the editorial position to raise priorities for the community. Of things that, that I believe we deserve as a community. Running water, paved streets, sidewalks, an opera house. Shouldn't Marion have an opera house? We're big enough for an opera house. And any other number of amenities deserving of a town of our size and vitality. And yes, there's a role for politics in making those things happen, but the newspaper can coalesce public opinion about those kinds of things. So the people are saying, yes, we should have brick streets rather than mud ruts. Yes, we should have sandstone sidewalks that provide a safe place for our children to be able to walk to school. And on and on and on. That's the role of a responsible newspaper in a growing, vibrant community like Marion.
43 minutes past the hour here on this Getaway Friday morning. Now, I want to tell a little story before we have our performance here in hour number one. Back in, I believe it was January, I was down in Columbus interviewing, I can't even remember who it was at this point, but we went by the North Market. And as we passed by the North Market, there was a gentleman outside in the cold in January performing. And there was a group of people around this gentleman, and very, very happy crowd. And I could hear, I had to roll down the window because it's very cold out in January. We had a very cold January this year. And I could hear this music, and it was very unique. It was kazoo. It was... I believe at that point, I'm going to say the instrument wrong because I'm not, is it a banjo?
No.
No, I knew it wasn't a banjo, I knew. What is the item we have, Bobby?
I call it a banjolele, or actually I call it an 8-string banjolele.
Banjolele.
It's actually a banjolin that I put ukulele strings on.
A banjolin.
So yeah, they used to make everything into a banjo before the microphone was invented in 1920.
Ah.
So for amplification.
Very nice.
So before that, they made everything into banjos. I got a picture at home of a lady playing an upright bass that's just a giant banjo.
Perfect.
You know, that she's playing like, she's slapping like a bass. It's amazing. And so there's a bunch of these for sale. This one is made in 1922.
1920.
So
this is President Harding's time. Now,
right in his wheelhouse.
Right in his wheelhouse. So I hear this performance going on, and going on so well that we actually went around the block, the person I was with, to come back and hear what was going on. And I saw there was a sign out there, a busker, Bobby Ray the Kazoo Man was the name. So when I got back to Marion that night, I looked him up. Now, by the way, he is on Facebook. He is contactable that way. You can find him, absolutely. And he will tell us throughout the morning where he'll be this coming weekend if you'd like to go 45 minutes up the road.
Oh, yeah, that's right. If you want to go to Columbus, I'm going to be... I am most nights at the corner of Vine and High Street in the Arena District in Columbus, and then catty-cornered on the far corner of the block is the North Market, and I'm there every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. As long as it's not raining.
Perfect.
So anytime it's raining, I'd love to come to Marion.
Sounds great. And that's right. That's when you come, when you can't be outside. When you can't be outside. The rain does it in.
Yeah,
well, we are going to hear Happy Days Are Here Again. Now, this is a song I have heard you do, Bobby Ray. When did you start doing this song?
1929. No. It was one of my first songs, you know, was it Franklin Roosevelt's theme song, and then became like the theme song for the Democratic Party. But when I was a kid, it was the theme song for Rip Taylor.
Remember
Rip Taylor would come out with the confetti and the...
I interviewed Rip Taylor.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
He would say, sorry, I'm feeling a little hoarse, and then he would pull out a little horse.
Well, Bobby Ray, I'm going to have you sing into that purple microphone so we can hear the voice, the vocals here. But here he is, Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man on WWGH Radio. Take it away, Bobby Ray.
Song of cheer again. Happy days are here again. The bad times, we are rid of you at last. Howdy gay times, cloudy gray times, you are now a thing of the past. Happy days are here again, the skies above are clear again. Let us sing a song of cheer again, happy days are here again.
Bobby Ray the Kazoo Man here on WWGH Radio. Absolutely. Happy days are here again. All right. Warren, I saw you getting into that. It gets your blood flowing here on a Getaway Friday morning, doesn't it?
It does. Started to do some dance moves here that Florence and I would do on the floor. So,
well, a solid turkey trot.
Exactly. Now, it was something I wanted to bring up there that Bobby Ray said, which was, and by the way, out there in radio land, this is a one-man band. He's got nobody backing him up. He plays all the instruments here, all by Bobby Ray.
Well, he's not telling you he has six arms and legs.
Well, that's right. That does make it easier. We have all that.
I'm playing both instruments, and one of them I'm pretty much just singing into. So the kazoo is not really an instrument. It is an instrument. I mean, people call it an instrument, but do you know how to do it's kazoo? When people pick up kazoos, sometimes they try to blow into them. And
what's the secret?
No, it's just that it's not, you don't blow into it, you sing into it, so, or hum into it, right? So if I go, that's the sound it makes, but if I go, then that's how you get the horn sound. So it's based on, based on an African instrument, and it was invented by an African-American in the 1840.
You know, Warren, I want to touch on this for a second because Bobby Ray brought it up. Your opponent in the election here of 1920, Franklin Roosevelt, is the vice presidential candidate of Mr. Cox on the opposite side. Now, word is, he likes this song and may down the road be co-opting this song for the Democratic Party.
Well, I mean, I don't begrudge him that. It's a great song. Who doesn't want happy days? The real test is who can deliver happy days. And I believe the Harding administration and the Republican platform is best positioned to put us on the road to happy days.
Now, why is that?
Chicken in every pod.
Well, there's a lot to that. Really, what you're asking is getting into a platform of what is it that about return to normalcy? What's the substance behind it, other than just some vague promise that we're all gonna be better off someday? There are any number of things. If you'll indulge me, I'll take a moment and go through what some of those key elements are that will put America on the road to normalcy and set us up so that happy days really are around the corner.
Please do.
Okay. It's hard to imagine, but the federal government has no budget. Under President Wilson, you spend what you want to spend. If you think you need something, you just buy it if you're a government agency. There's no budget to blow. It's total uncontrolled spending. And I've proposed, it'll be going to the legislature shortly, a federal budget act that's going to require every federal department to submit a budget and be restricted to an approved budget, right down to the penny. So that fiscal restraint is always been a key component of Republican politics. But I'm proposing a concrete, practical, accountable step toward that direction. Another element is income taxes. President Wilson raised income taxes far beyond what would be reasonable and, frankly, beyond the means of most Americans to pay them. The sacrifices American families have had to make to pay these increased taxes have been hideous. Now, he may argue that, well, we needed to do that because of the war, and that certainly has an element of truth to it. But the war's over. The taxes have not moved. And I'm going to insist on tax cuts that return to a more normal state the necessary level of taxes that Americans need to be responsible for. I'm also asking for an increase of tariffs on agricultural goods, because we're at a state now where we need to protect the American farmer. And putting a tariff on incoming agricultural commodities is one way to help do that. There's an excess profits tax on corporations that President Wilson enabled, to finance the war effort. That's fine. The war's over. Let's repeal that excess profits tax. Now, I came to this interview in my car. It's a Stevens Duryea. I can tell you about it sometime. But the motor car is setting the pace for American life. And we can't make progress in that era until we improve and we expand the nation's highway system. So I'm going to propose a Federal Highway Act of 1921, which will earmark $162 million. That's an astounding sum. To focus on improving the American highway system. America is in the age of the motor car. The motor car reflects our standard of living, and the motor car gauges the speed of our present-day life. So, the Federal Highway Act of 1921 is something that's going to be on legislators' desks in the months ahead. Another issue is, as we've come off of the Great War, with hundreds of thousands dead and so many more wounded, maimed for life, these young men are coming back to the United States. Many of them are here. They have no place to go for treatment. They're coming back with wounds that nobody has ever seen before. Because the Great War was the first mechanized war with armored tanks, powerful explosives, which caused unthinkable injuries that doctors haven't seen before. People coming back with mustard gas that's burned their lungs, and doctors don't know how to treat it. So I'm proposing the formation of a new Veterans Bureau. And in that, the building of a network of hospitals and clinics across the nation so that veterans may be abundantly aided and restored to their fullest capabilities.
President Harding, we're about to come up on our break here in about 2.5 minutes now, and we're getting questions online, and Mother Nature is not cooperating with us today for an audience outside. Now, if you want to come down at 12:15 and see President Harding deliver his speeches between 12 and 1, he will be on the porch, but it's going to be raining, from what we understand. Now, we will take pictures, and yes, it will be broadcast over the radio, which is what people were wondering. So you can, from the comfort of your car, workplace, or home, listen to this. If you want to brave it, you're going to get wet. If you have an umbrella, you can certainly come. We will not deny you. But that is the situation as of today. And hopefully in the future, Warren maybe will come back in the future when we know for sure it's going to be a sunny day, and we will get a crowd outside. Now, Bobby Ray, we've got about a minute and a half here. Do you want to play us out to break?
Yeah. You want me to do one from... here you go.
Here we go.
Because I had this on the mic. About exactly 10 years after Harding passed. So. Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Oh, let a smile be your umbrella, for it's just an April shower. Even John D. Rockefeller is looking for that silver lining. Mr. Herbert Hoover says that now's the time to buy. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
Thank you, Bobby Ray. Hey, you timed that right. We are going to break. We'll be back. Warren Harding, Adam Lepp, and Bobby Ray, the Kazoo Man, and a whole bunch more fun this morning. Stay tuned, WWGH Radio. Hey, by the way, it stands for Warren G. Harding in a big way today. News and weather right around the corner.
The worst time?
The first time? Both. We'll take both at this point.
First time? What's the first time? Does it rhyme? Either time. First time I met him, we came back to Vegas. Shecky, I want you to come on my